Welcome to the Not Old Better Show Fitness Friday series, sponsored by Health IQ. I'm Paul Vogelzang. Remember, Health IQ is an insurance agency that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, skiers, snowboarders, and ice dancing pairs get lower rates on their life insurance. Hey, I gotta give a nod to the Winter Olympics. But go to healthiq.com/NOBS to support. But go to healthiq.com/NOBS to support the show and learn more about the great healthy fitness-related life insurance quotes from Health IQ. Today's Fitness Friday show is a great one and very timely. We've got some Fitness Friday news and a report on why nutrition and diet count and how to develop a strategy for actually losing weight. But first, the news.
The Not Old Better Show Fitness Friday News.
A report first published in the BMJ Health Reports 2 days ago tells of the pain-relieving benefits from swimming in cold water. Seems like a man who suffered constant pain after surgery cured it by taking a plunge in cold, open water. The man's case has been reviewed by doctors who suggest a short, sharp, cold water swim may offer an alternative to strong painkillers and physiotherapy. The 28-year-old man who suffered from post-operative pain found it disappeared totally after doing an open water swim. However, cold water swimming does not suit everyone and entails some risks. The man had been a highly trained triathlete prior to his operation and found conventional treatments had made little difference to his severe pain. His story is detailed in the BMJ reports, and we'll post links to that research on the Not Old Better website. Report author Dr. Tom Mole from the University of Cambridge said he hopes that it gives new hope to people recovering from pain after surgery. According to Dr. Tom Mole, the surgery went well, but afterwards, the man suffered from severe and persistent pain, which caused him a great deal of distress. He found conventional treatments had made little difference to his severe pain. He said exercise and movement in his physiotherapy sessions made the pain worse, which prevented him from completing his rehabilitation. So, here's some cold water swimming dangers and guidance. Outdoor swimming in cold water saps your body heat, so your arms and legs get weaker. If this happens, you could get into trouble if you're unable to get out of the water. Wear a wetsuit for anything more than just a quick dip. Don't jump into cold water. Wade in slowly instead. Swim close to the shore, too. Take warm clothes to put on afterwards. Even in summer, you'll feel colder when you get out. Take care in reservoirs, which are deeper and colder than lakes and rivers. Shivering and teeth chattering are the first symptoms of hypothermia. If that happens, get out of the water and warm up fast. According to the report, the man said, "I initially thought, damn, this is so cold, I'm going to die. And I just swam for my life," he told the report's authors. "Once I was in the water, I had tunnel vision for the first time in months, and I completely forgot about the pain or the fear of shooting pains in my chest if I moved. My entire body tingled with cold. I just knew if I didn't keep swimming, I'd soon freeze. But after a few moments, I actually enjoyed it. It was just an immersive rush of adrenaline. When I came out of the water, I realized the neuropathic pain had gone away. I couldn't believe it." The report authors believe it is the first case of its kind documented, although cold water baths have been used in sports medicine to ease injuries. The authors warn that cold water swimming is not for everyone, and there is a significant risk of hypothermia. There's also a risk from the body's acute cold shock response, which may affect the arm muscles while swimming and can lead to incapacitation and potential drowning within minutes if unsupervised. So, jump in the cold water if you need to relieve some pain. Hey, again, this is Paul, and don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back with our next fitness, nutrition, and diet strategy about losing weight, and I hope you're enjoying today's show. Speaking of fitness, as I mentioned, the Not Old Better Show is proudly sponsored by Health IQ. All the Not Old Better Show audience knows what a fitness fan I am, with yoga, cardio, stretching, and weightlifting part of my daily routine. We've talked about it here a lot. With my love of fitness, I found a life insurance agency who loves fitness too and rewards those of us who exercise and lead healthy lifestyles with exclusive, special, and lower rates. Health IQ tells me that their customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. Health IQ can do that because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease compared to people who are inactive. It makes sense, right? Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver. Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. Trustpilot gives Health IQ a 9.6 out of 10 rating. Health IQ factors in low heart rate, BMI or body mass index, the body's percentage of fat, and gym membership, which helps with rates and qualifying. These are real advantages according to Health IQ. Check out Health IQ's testimonials from USA Racquetball, US Masters Swimming, American Trail Runners Association, and many others. They're really great. And check out the Health IQ quiz, which is eye-opening and really fun to do. That's healthiq.com/NOBS. Check out Health IQ for more details and mention the Not Old Better Show. Thanks. And we're back with our next Fitness Friday report on nutrition and diet strategies that work. It's winter, right? And we all put on a little weight. But in an effort to lose weight, people try all kinds of things, drinking apple vinegar, other odd diets, taking pills, and many other wasted efforts. But a new study from our friends at the British Medical Journal report on which of those strategies actually work. Based on data from nearly 60,000 people, three behaviors, eating slowly, cutting out after dinner snacks, and not eating within 2 hours of going to bed were linked to lower obesity rates and smaller waistlines. People were asked about their eating and sleeping habits, including how fast they typically ate and whether they regularly skipped breakfast, snacked before dinner, or ate before bed. They were also asked about their alcohol and tobacco use. At the start of the study, more than half of the people said they ate at a normal speed, while about a third said they tended to eat fast. About 7% of the people called themselves slow eaters. Compared to those who wolfed down their food quickly, those who ate at a normal speed were 29% less likely to be obese. People who ate slowly were 42% less likely to be obese. And although absolute reductions in waist circumference over the course of the study were small, they were greater among the slow and normal eaters. People who said they didn't snack after dinner at least 3 times a week, and those who didn't eat within 2 hours of bedtime, were also less likely to gain weight over the course of the study than those who did those behaviors. Surprisingly, eating breakfast did not appear to make much of a difference for weight gain. The findings make total sense, say the researchers. Eating quickly has previously been linked to impaired glucose intolerance and insulin resistance, which can affect metabolism and fat burning. Fast eaters may also continue to scarf down food even after they've consumed adequate calories, the study authors write in their paper, whereas slow eaters might feel full on less food overall. Slower eaters also tended to be healthier and to have healthier habits than their fast-eating peers. But even after controlling for other potentially influencing factors, the researchers found that eating speed appeared to be an independent factor in weight and body mass index measures. Other research has shown that a slower eating pace improves satiety. There are apps to show you slow eating pace, but even putting your fork down between bites and eating without distractions, like your phone or TV, can help. The authors point out that about half of the people in the study changed their eating speed throughout the course of the study, suggesting that this type of lifestyle modification is achievable and that it may make a difference in body weight. Interventions and education initiatives aimed at altering eating habits may be useful in preventing obesity and reducing the risk of non-communicable diseases, the report concluded. But hey, if you want to shed some pounds, take it slow. That's it for this week's news on our Fitness Friday show. My thanks, of course, to Health IQ for their help and support of the show. And remember to take the daily Health IQ quiz, which I love this week because of its emphasis on staying fast and fit in your 50s and beyond. Let me ask you a question from the quiz. People in their 50s are often less able to stand on one foot than their younger counterparts, indicating a loss in what? A, cardio fitness, B, balance, C, flexibility, D, upper body strength. Ding, ding, ding. The correct answer is B, balance. Thanks, everybody. And stay tuned to our next show, another great one, as we talk about Better, the Not Old Better Show.